My name is Fred, and I am the podcast principal, and you are listening to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. Today, I am in my milieu speaking about Christ, but I am out of my skill set in the subject of the episode. We are and will be praying for a year of Jubilee and forgiveness, and in that regard, I felt the desire to boil down the gospel, even in my weakness, but I wanted to boil it down in the truest way that I am capable of, that I know how. Because there is one truth that all humanity knows, and that truth we don't want to face, really. And it leads to moments that we cannot escape, and that is a universal to all mankind, everywhere. I like to listen to history podcasts, and many of them will take a look at the Christian history, the history of Christ, the history of the church. And they all, of course, have their own outlooks on it. But there's one thing that comes out as pretty universal as well. I was listening the other day to a podcast on history, and they were speaking of the movement of the Holy Roman Empire, which is different than the Roman Empire, started with Charlemagne. And they were talking about the evangelism of that day. And it wasn't a Christian podcast. It was a secular podcast. But it was interesting as they talked about one of the more famous evangelists that were sent out to talk to evangelize the unchurched. His main evangelistic tool was red. I can't remember his name. Nevertheless, as he preached, he sounded like preachers of today, promising those men and women in that crowd that if they would choose Christianity, their lives would be better, and God would give them more stuff than they ever wanted, basically, that he would protect them, and that he would give them victory over their enemies. Like I said, that sounds very modern, doesn't it? So as we look at the church and look at the history of the church, that is one of the main weaknesses that we have and we have seen. Because the message of the gospel is not all the stuff that God will do for us and God will give us. And while it is true that if you lived by the gospel, if you lived by what the Bible says, you would have a better life than most people have, just trying to obey its precepts. But that's not the message. And the message is needed, the true message is needed because of this universal truth. There are times in each of our lives which we know, and we can't escape. They may happen a little, and they may happen a lot, but we all understand them. And those moments come usually in the middle of the night when we are trying to sleep, and we can't escape the darkness and the emptiness and the questions that we have. And so we lay there, and we may think of our past, the things we've done in our past, the things that have been done to us in our past, and we can't get over this sadness that it brings. It's dark. We have a lack of understanding. We are in fear, even though we may not know exactly what we are in fear of. We're confused. Our lives seem empty and devoid of hope, full of regrets, full of anger sometimes at what people have done to us, and regrets of what we have done to other people. And we lay there, close to tears if we are not weeping. And it doesn't even matter if there is a loved one right beside you. In those moments, most of the time, we don't stir them or wake them up. We lay there in our misery. And we all know that. That is universal. Every person feels that. I say that with complete confidence. There are those moments for all of us. And we lay there and we think. And again, it may be over regrets, something we should have done, or something we might have done to make our lives turn out better or the way we intended them to be. And we wonder, maybe if I'd done this or that, but we can't escape that darkness. And we know, and we may be thinking of sins that other people have visited on us. For our vernacular, that's hard to hear in this day and age, at least in my culture. So we can put it this way. We can't stop thinking of maybe the bad things some people have done to us, even if we don't consider them sin. That's what they are, and they are bad, and they're not to be denied. We have all been hurt and sinned against, and then our minds may go to the hurt we have caused and the sins we have caused in other people's lives, and we regret those, and we wish we could undo them, but we can't. And again, our lives are not what we wanted them to be or want them to be, but we understand that those things that we have done, we cannot undo. And so we lay there miserable. Sometimes we weep and sometimes we don't. And it all reminds us that from our perspective, life is empty and meaningless. And it is. That's our fallen state, the state that we live in. And the shortness of our lives and the unsatisfactory ways our lives seems to have unfolded for us keep coming back, and we lay there miserably. We don't know what to do. We don't know what steps to take. We know we can't make the past different. But the genesis of that feeling is actually three layers fold. The first one is sin, as I have mentioned, and those rotten things people have done to you, and those rotten things that you confess that you have done, in your soul you confess them, that you have done to other people. Those things we wish we could change, but we know we can't. And we know in our hearts that those sins deserve punishment. We know that because we want that for others. We want punishment or retribution to those who have hurt us. And that leads naturally to what we deserve. That's where that silly idea of karma came from. What goes around comes around, people say, and they like to be satisfied with that without examining what should be coming around to themselves, which is the second layer. So the first is sins, the evil things that we do, even though we may not give them that level of evil that we attribute to other people and what they've done to us. But there they are. And when we truly examine our emotions over what others have done to us, we know intuitively what that means is we deserve that justice as well. So the first thing that brings these emotional times on is sins, ours and others, bad things, if you want to put it that way. The second thing is we know intuitively that they deserve judgment, and we don't want to think about that either. And then the last thing that causes these moments is death. And we don't want to face death, but we know that that's true. And we do everything we can to avoid that thought, but it's still true. You and I are going to die. And that intensifies the shortness of life, the meaninglessness of life, and our failures, knowing that it's going to end and it hasn't gone the way we wanted, intensifies, like I said, those dark days, those dark moments. And then after a time, sometimes it's a long time and sometimes it's a short time, we become emotioned out, is the way I like to put it. We can't live in that emotional state all the time. And there comes a point, like I said, sometimes sooner, sometimes later, sometimes with weeping, sometimes with just inner sadness. But after a while, we become emotioned out. And once we have done that, once we have in our minds expressed ourselves and know we can't stay there anymore, either of two things happen. And it depends on who you are in relation to the true God of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our focus. Jesus, the Christ, is our focus at this point. So depending on your relationship with Him, either of two things happen. The first is, if you don't know Him personally, if you haven't responded to His invitation, your mind refocuses and you think about what's coming next. And we deceive ourselves, moving away from the shortness of life and the meaninglessness of life to focus on maybe our work or the entertainment or anything that is coming soon in the morning, typically, and will absorb all that sadness and sin and judgment and the thought of death. And we start to think what we're going to do tomorrow or what we're going to enjoy tomorrow or who we are going to enjoy tomorrow. And we fool ourselves and set our hearts on the next day. Truly from experience, though, we know the next day will bring the same activities, the same foolishness, the same deceit that keeps us going from day to day, even if we don't have those emotional sets. And not every day do we begin with this depression, but some days we do. So we set our minds on the next day, and being emotioned out and fooling ourselves to what is to come, pushing off the sadness, the judgment, and death that await us all, we're able to go back to sleep, changing that focus. If you are in Christ, then you remember God. He's our Savior. You remember His promises. You remember your destiny, and in peace, you're able to lie down and sleep. And that's the real true message of the gospel. It's not that this life will be better. It's that this life is ending, and then judgment comes. That's what the book of Hebrews says. It's appointed for a man once to live, and then judgment. And there's no karma, and there's no reincarnation. There's life and death, and then judgment. And the good news is this. You don't have to be stuck in that cycle, deceiving yourself with the things that may come in the future, and these cycles of regret. That's the true gospel. You are going to face judgment. And there will be a time when in that darkness, in that sadness, in that confusion, in those moments when you don't know what to do next and you are fearful of what is coming next, that there is an answer. And it's not just a different life you need. You need to be in a different relationship to the guilt and sorrow you feel over your badness, sinfulness, and others, and that gnawing feeling that as much as you judge others, you will one day be judged yourself, and that death is that time. And there is that time, I think I've mentioned it, when it will be the last time, when you will go before the judge, the creator, and you won't feel those sad feelings anymore. You are headed for a place where all those sorrows are going to be intensified, but you are going to be alone. And I've heard people say, oh, my friends are going to be there. We'll have a party. No, you won't. Your friends may be there. That's true enough. But you will be there. And the only thing you will have is your sin and your sorrow and your anger and that darkness and those regrets. And it will be too late. As miserable as you are in the night, in the dark, in those moments, that will be your life for eternity. And your friends around you, they will experience and display the same things, the sins that they have, the sorrows, the regrets, the evil that they sometimes do, or the badness, if you want to call it that. That's only going to be on display. There's going to be no goodness, no happiness, no party time. It's going to be you, and not only your darkness, but the darkness of everyone around you. And the message of the gospel isn't to have your best life now. I hear that a lot on commercials these days, and it doesn't have anything to do with insurance or makeup or being in shape or anything else. It has to do with the eternal state of your soul. And if you've never listened, never heard any of the word before, the word of God, that is, here's some samples. There's a Bible book called Matthew, talks about the life of Jesus, the Messiah. And in chapter 11, starting in verse 27, he says this, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him." The key for you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. And in that darkness, that's what you are looking for, rest for your soul. And outside of Christ in the flesh, it seems like a heavy yoke, but I'm here to tell you it's not. John chapter 1, that's another book in the Bible, the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, 16, he says, "For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Later in the Gospel of John, he will tell us that a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus, wondering what the truth was. And in chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered that man and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that's the real crux. It's not to change your habits, to change your better life. You need to be born again, or you're going to spend eternity in that darkness, in those sorrows, in your sins, away from the goodness of God. The very next chapter, chapter 4, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, still Jesus, is at a well, and it's about the middle of the day, and everybody else has come and gone. They've retrieved their water for the day, and they've left. But a woman comes up, and she's there in the middle of the day because she is ashamed of herself. Her sins are many. She doesn't want to be in the crowd of people. She is that lonely person that you are in those moments. And Jesus begins to talk to her. And in 13 of chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again." He's talking about himself and he's talking about salvation. "But whoever drinks of the water I shall give shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So far from that darkness that you experience and I experience, and this woman by the well experienced, there is an answer to your misery and your loneliness and the emptiness of life. He tells her a little later, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And we cannot worship in spirit and truth unless we are born again. At the very end of his testimony to Jesus, or of Jesus, John writes in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, "Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." That's his call. When he calls you to come to him, that's his call. The Gospels are true. Jesus is real. He is the Christ, and he died for your sins and my sins. Those things you regret, those things other people have done to you that you regret, he died to pay for those because, like I said earlier, you know that there's judgment coming, and even if you don't want to face it, death is that judgment. The gospel gets continued. This is the letter Paul wrote, and he wrote to the people of Rome, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." If you're contemplating the truth of those sad, poignant moments, the emptiness that you feel, the frustration, the confusion, even if you only truly face them in those dark moments, I urge you to ponder what the Holy Ghost is teaching you right now. If his message is drawing to you at all, come to the spring of living waters, that's Jesus. Believe in the rest that his sacrifice, his payment for your sins, can bring you. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." There's no easy yoke after, as Hebrew says, once to live and then judgment. Thank you, Jesus, for today. I thank you and pray that you will bring the souls that need rest to this message somehow, or the message of the gospel some other way, that they can hear what you have done, see what you have done for them, and believe, resulting in their salvation. Sweet Jesus, I pray that you would be merciful to my whole salvation list and to the whole world, as you have been merciful to me, a sinner. And that's my only plea. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And the only offering I can bring to you is my broken and contrite heart. Move, I pray, again, to somehow cause people to listen to this message or another message that tells them the truth, and then move on their souls to bring them to belief, to bring them to faith, and to bring them to salvation. Holy God, take what little I've been able to truly say and open up your spirit to everyone who hears for the salvation of their souls. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we cast our bread upon the waters, trusting you will bring your will to pass. And it's in your name, because of your will, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we pray this and commit this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Again, in the book of Hebrews, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." I commend your souls to the truth of the gospel.